This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Amen. It's awesome to be here. Really a privilege. We've been having a wonderful weekend. Yo, live for times like this. You come to be a blessing, but in the process you actually receive so much yourself. So I wrote a book called Increasing Heaven's Flow, and it's available if you want to get in the foyer. I call it Revivalist Manual. And we've seen when people actually, this is what I do before I go some places to see God's kingdom come, I read my own book to get myself focused and remind myself again what the Word of God says. And we've seen people just starting to read the book, and then through their lives, people get physically healed, and miracles begin to happen within a few days. So I believe there's grace upon this book, and believe it's of God. It's going to be a blessing to you. But I want to give two books away. So I want to, not anybody that was there yesterday, but anybody had a birthday this last week or so? Birthday people? Yes, there's a hand, and they're at the back. You can just keep your hands raised, and the... Oh, sorry, they're there, and at the back there, I was going there as well. Awesome, so yes, happy birthday, enjoy, and it's just, let's say, it's been really special to be here. So quickly stand again. I want to do something that I do as we do as a culture at our church. So I am here to release and to, in a sense, expose you to kingdom culture. And the kingdom of heaven culture. So I want you just to open your hands as an attitude of receiving and surrender. I don't want to do anything except from the presence of God, because I know I'm just a donkey without Jesus. I can't touch any life, can't change any life. But I know when the presence of God rests upon my life and your life, then it is God invading our lives. So, Lord, I pray that this morning your presence would touch us. We have come to meet with the living God. Lord, awaken our spirit senses. Make us aware of your presence, God. Father, even as Debbie shared of these two hands on her back, but there was no person. Lord, I believe that was possibly an angel. And so we welcome your angels here, God. We welcome the miraculous here right now, because our God is alive, he's not dead. Lord, stir our hearts, our minds, align our whole being with your kingdom. Speak to us, minister to our hearts. Holy Spirit, touch each and every one of us. Come on, just pray this prayer. Say, Father God, I am here to meet with you. Have your way in me. Renew my mind. Renew my heart. And change my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. So very quickly, I want to share about kingdom culture. And what is kingdom culture about? For me, it's one thing. If you build it, God will come. If you build a kingdom culture, a kingdom environment, if you build according to heaven's blueprint, like Solomon did, he built Solomon's temple according to heaven's blueprint. What happened? The glory of God came. Or Moses, when he built Moses' tabernacle according to what he saw on the mountain, when he built the tabernacle, according to that blueprint, what happened? The glory came. So what if you and I would build our lives like that? Take heaven's blueprint, because do you know what your body is? It's a mobile temple. It's a mobile temple of the living God. God wants, if you're a believer this morning, Jesus lives in you by the Holy Spirit. But he wants to not just have a little bit on the inside of you. He wants to fill you to overflow. Glory. And that is one of the biggest shifts that we've made over the last 6 years. Since 2012, I became desperate for more of God because I realized I'm a spirit-filled believer. I'm a pastor for 10 years, but I don't know the power of God. Why? Because I don't have the fullness of His presence, and I'm still going for more. But we've come a long way from where we were. And so I want to encourage you to make the shift this morning as well. And for those who don't know, there's a small group curriculum that I developed. So it's going to be implemented in this church over the next 2 months. So I think it's starting this Wednesday evening. So it's all about how to build out the kingdom culture. So it's like 8 short video sessions and a discussion manual. And my book is also the guide to help you on this journey to renew your mind and to embrace this kingdom culture. Okay, so really, if you haven't signed up, please sign up for it. It's going to be awesome. Okay, so kingdom encounter. So I want to just build up this one component. And then this morning, we're trusting that bodies will be healed, souls will be restored, and lives will be changed. Say amen. Okay, so kingdom encounter is one of the key components of the kingdom of God. And we see this in the Bible. In God's word, we see it in revivals, in past revivals, and we see it in many people's lives. So my journey started in 1996. I was a first-year student in Stellenbosch, and I went to Stellenbosch for one main reason, to have a party and get an engineering degree on the side. I mean, that's why you study, isn't it? So that's why I went. I went to my same hostel that my dad went to, and I was going to have a great time. Second term, first year, one of the seniors in the hostel came to me. And I knew the broer is in a snaakse kerk. Shofar something. Shopar. Shoprite. Don't know. But I knew he was in this other church, and I was a little bit afraid of this. Because I've heard these things. So he was a master's degree student, and he came to me and he said to me, Andre, I had a dream last night. In this dream, God appeared to me, and God said to me, invite Andre to church. And I was like, dude, he's weird. He's by a weird. So, but the Lord set me up at before that I in the old days we had telephone duty and I drank too much and got a whole lot of people in trouble. So all the first years were upset with me and I had this disciplinary meet thing against me and everybody was peeved at me. And then the older guy in the hostel, he was after my girlfriend and he took her in a sense. I don't know. Anyway, my life was falling apart. I wanted to run away. I wanted to stop studying. I couldn't. I was a mess. And in the midst of the mess, this guy comes to me and says, Andre, God appeared to me in a dream and he said, I must invite you to church. And I was just so ready. I was so desperate. I was such a mess. I hated myself. I had no foundation in my life. I didn't know it. You don't know it when you don't know Jesus. When you find Jesus, you realize I had no foundation in my life. So I went to church. I went to a shofar church. I was terrified. I remember walking up to Stellenbosch High School Hall. And I remember walking there. And I told, it was one of the first years when I trusted this guy. And I didn't know about the rest, but I told this guy, if you guys do anything weird, I'm running. And I remember getting outside of Stellenbosch High School Hall. And I got this pain in my leg. And everything within me said, don't go in. It was the darkness within me. And I went in, and I loved the worship, and the guy did an altar call. I didn't hear what he said, and I responded. I came forward, and about 50, 60 people in the front of the church, and I was trying to blend in because I was new to this thing, so I was all like checking out the scene. And the pastor came down, and he put his hand on my shoulder, and like, oh, Jesus. He put his hand on my shoulder, and he said to me, give in to Jesus. And the next moment, I experienced the only way to explain is fire coursing through my body. A touch from heaven absolutely rocked my world. I had a kingdom encounter. And everything started to change from there. And at first I thought the shofar people were weird and then I became the worst. I fell in love with Jesus. You know what rocks my world is? I didn't choose Jesus. He chose me. I want to say to you this morning, you didn't choose Jesus. He chose you. He called you. He loves you. He drew you. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, you are here because he has drawn you. He wants to touch you. He wants to love on you. He wants to rock your world. Amen. Kingdom encounter is a love encounter that changes you from the inside out, that you're like, oh, I've come home. I've met the one who made me to be, designed me, purposed me. He loves you more than you can imagine, you know. But so God wants you to encounter his love. But do you know what is most evident in South Africa? It's dead religion. Do you know what dead religion is? It's like trying to farm without water. Now, my brother-in-law is a farmer in Malmesbury. He's a lekker boer daar van Malmesbury, yeah. And he, and with the drought happening over the last years, few years or so, he said last year they only had 25% of the usual harvest. Why? Because they didn't have water. Do you know what's happening in the church body, in the Church of Jesus Christ, in this nation, mostly, primarily, even for those who say they are spirit-filled, we are farming really, really hard. Ons skoffel, broer. Ons ploeg. And we're sowing seeds. And we're sowing seeds. And we're working hard. And we're working hard. But we are farming with minimal water. Minimal life-giving water. And the result is not a lot of fruit. Not a lot of harvest. A lot of Christians striving and trying, but very little life. Farming without water. I believe we are experiencing a drought in the Church of Jesus Christ. And I believe God is saying it's time for the heavy rains. He wants to pour out his spirit upon us because it changes. He changes everything. God, the Holy Spirit, his presence changes everything. So have you had a God encounter lately? Have you lately experienced the fullness of God? Have you lately received a fresh revelation of his wonderful love? Because when you do, it changes everything. One encounter with God will change you for life. Amen. Come on, let's say it. One encounter with God will change me for life. Amen. That's the truth. That's the truth, you know. But what do? We often just come for a teaching and a nice sing-along. No, it's supposed to be so much more, so much more. So where do you find yourself? Maybe some of us are like Peter, the apostle, before he became the apostle and before he met Jesus. You know, the fisherman? Now, I can imagine he was just a guy trying to make it in life. He wasn't really focused on God, I presume. He probably had a beer every now and again and maybe a few too many every now and again with the boys in the other boat. And they were like just going merrily along in life, having not a real sense of purpose or destiny, but, you know, doing the just things you need to do, you know. Until what happened? They tried to fish all night long, caught nothing, and then Jesus gets into Peter's boat. And what does Jesus do? He does a miracle. He says, try again. And the nets are almost breaking. So Jesus steps into his boat, into even his work environment, gives him a miracle that he can understand. What happens? He falls to his knees saying, Lord, I'm a sinful man. Depart from me. And everything changes. Everything changed for Peter because of the one encounter. You know, maybe some of us are a little more, but more like Saul or Paul, the apostle before he became Paul, like Saul, you know, a very intellectual theologian, maybe even, you know, but Paul or Saul, he had this idea about the kingdom of God. He had this idea about how God operates. He has very fixed mindset about how God operates, and he started to persecute the Christians. I mean, he would drag them away to jail and they would be beaten. And he was like self-righteous. Yes, I'm doing the will of God. Do you know how many Christians think they're doing the will of God and persecuting spirit-filled believers, God, people who are doing the will of God? And then Saul goes off to Damascus and is on his donkey and he's going to persecute the Christians. What happens? Jesus pitches up, clubs him off his donkey because he's the king of the universe. And he says, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And then he sort of says, welcome to the kingdom. Boom. Kingdom encounter. Changes his life. Rocks his world. Or maybe some of us are like, as I said earlier, Christian, that you've been Christian for a long time, but you're dry. You're living in that desert space. You've lost your passion for Christ. You've lost that joy of your salvation. Well, this morning, I'm trusting that you're going to have a fresh encounter with the Lord to renew you. Amen. So I want to take you to a passage. If you have your Bible here, Luke chapter 5, verse 17. I want to look at a bit of a kingdom encounter. And recently we were at Shofar Wellington, and a little bit more than a month ago, and we had a bit of a, sort of we're doing this morning, a bit of a focus on the kingdom. And we prayed for a lot of people, and a lot of things were happening, but we had three very significant healings, miracle healings. So the one was, the guy's name is Nick, 25 years, deaf in the one ear. And the Lord opened up his ear and he heard perfectly both sides. Hallelujah. Another lady, 17 years, back problems, couldn't touch her toes. Jesus healed her and she was touching her toes in front of all of us. It was wonderful. But the third one was beautiful, especially beautiful. A lady that was born, she had a cesarean section when she was born, or mom had a cesarean section, and something went wrong and her hips were damaged. Since birth, she's around 25 years old, and she couldn't walk normally, and she couldn't run. And so Sonica, my wife, has a word that there are people with hip problems, and she was sitting there in like where you're sitting, and she was like, no, God's not going to heal me. God doesn't want to heal me. She had this idea that God doesn't delight in healing people, that he's stingy or something. That's not my Father. That's not the God I know. He delights in blessing. And so she was sitting in the chairs and one of our guys were praying with her about something else. And she says the next moment, her knees begin to shake. And then the next moment, she says, she feels somebody's hugging her from behind. But there was no one. And the next moment, her hips move back into normal place. And the next week, she was walking and running up and down stairs and going crazy. Can't believe it. Let's give Jesus a hand for that. Come on. Why am I sharing these stories? Because every story stirs your faith. And faith connects you to God. Faith connects you to the kingdom of God. So the Lord wants to touch every one of us this morning. But you need to bring your little bit. But I've got good news. Even if you don't have faith, I have. Jesus wants to touch you. He loves you more than you can imagine. He wants to rock your world, not just once, every day of your life. One encounter with Jesus. One encounter with Jesus can change you for life. I've heard this said that, you know, a guy with an encounter is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. Because the guy with the argument would say, well, God doesn't exist. The man with the argument would say, God doesn't do miracles anymore. Or whatever else. Idea, an argument. You know, but I've also heard it said that the guy with the argument is one encounter away from changing his mind. Amen. So even if you're like a little bit unsure this morning, or you have doubts in your heart and mind, or maybe you're thinking, God won't do it for me. One encounter can change all of that. Amen. So we're trusting that the Lord's going to touch every one of us this morning. So I just want to stir your faith a little bit about kingdom encounter. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. So some background there. Jesus has been a lot of crowds have been coming to Jesus and amazing miracles have been happening. And so it says in verse 17, now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Come on, let's say it. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So the power of God was present, but the scary thing is none of those guys actually experienced the power of God. None of the Pharisees, the religious guy, the skeptics, the intellectuals, the guys, I'm not negative about being intellectual, but there's a sanctified intellectuality that is wonderful, and then there's an unsanctified intellectuality that is, it's incapacitating. It disconnects you from God. And that's what these guys had. So Jesus healing many. The power of the Lord was present. None of those guys were experiencing it because they had a certain idea about who Jesus is. So if they knew that Jesus was the Savior, they would have been saved. If they knew that Jesus is the deliverer, they would have realized that the darkness, the depression, or whatever they've been battling on the inside, they would have been set free. If they knew that Jesus is the healer, they would have been healed. In the same way, every one of us need to realize who Jesus is. King of glory. Worthy of our praise. The tomb is empty. Say amen. Our God is alive. He's not dead. And he's still working mightily in the earth. And he wants to work mightily in you and through you. But the shift needs to happen in your heart and mind. You need to get a kingdom mindset. Jesus didn't come to establish a religion. He came to establish the kingdom of heaven here on earth. He said, guys, good news, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Good news, guys, my kingdom, my realm is invading this realm. My angel armies are standing ready, poised to come and establish my reign and rule in the earth and within you. That was he did. He said, guys, good news. And what did he do? Then he demonstrated the kingdom. Then he said, let me show you. Let me show you how powerful my God is. Or in a sense, how he is. But Jesus did his miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit, not as God. But he came to reveal the heart of the Father. So many of us come for a teaching, but God wants to give us more than a teaching. So we had a couple at our church. They visited beginning November. Give you some background. Rick and Luz Zapata. So they're American missionaries. And Rick did a Southern Baptist theological degree in the United States. Now, I love Baptists. They love God's word. They are amazing people. But they tend to be a little bit afraid of the Holy Spirit. In some cases, terrified. So this is sort of their box. Their daughter's been coming to our youth, and then other people have been inviting. They said, well, let's go check this church out. But they walked into church terrified. Going to a Holy Spirit church. So they were like really, really afraid. So now I am in worship, I'm enjoying the Lord, and I have no idea that these people are here. And I hear the Holy Spirit say to me, Andre, sing in tongues. It's like, ach nee. I'm going to freak everybody out now. All the visitors, that's sort of what I'm thinking, no, God, I don't want to do this. But I'm like, I've learned. Holy Spirit says, God speaks, I do. So I took the microphone and it felt different than other times. And I couldn't get my notes sort of band continue. And at some point, I sang in tongues. And I said, Jesus, help all the visitors out this morning. So I'm singing in tongues and then there's interpretation that comes. And the interpretation is that basically that God loves his children. Now listen to this. This couple originally comes from South America. They understand Spanish. They told me 2 weeks later, I sang in Spanish about the love of God for his children. It absolutely rocked their worlds. They had a certain idea about God. And then one encounter rocked their world. I had the privilege of praying with them for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Baptist boy is praying in tongues. Hallelujah. Let's give Jesus a hand for that. That is just amazing. They've slotted into our church. There's a wonderful friendship and partnership developing. Such humble people. You are one encounter away from changing your mind about how wonderful God is. Amen. He's called you. He loves you. He has an incredible plan of what he wants to do in you and through you. But he's calling us to the wells, the wells of God. So let's take that passage further. Verse 18 to 20, it says, then behold. So there were a group of people that didn't know who Jesus is. They weren't receiving anything. And then there were a different group. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find out how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, say faith, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven you. I love these group of guys who bring the paralyzed guy to Jesus. Man, those are friends. Real men follow Jesus. It's the in thing, if anybody hasn't told you yet. Being in with the King of the universe, it's amazing. So we had a guy come to church around 3 years ago. His name is Aviwe, and he was an atheist. And his girlfriend brought him to church. Go, girlfriends. So he comes to church, he's an atheist, he's there from East London, he wasn't like a soul-born college, you know, grew up with other guys, like he's an atheist, doesn't believe in God. Girlfriend drags him to church, doesn't want to be there, doesn't fill in a visitor card. Pastor sees him, connects with him afterwards, says, have you filled in a card? Man, give me your number, I'd love to connect with you. He's like, oh, no. Reluctantly gives me his number. I phone him and I make an appointment in the Mug and Bean, and he's like, oh, I can't believe it, he phoned me. So we're sitting in the Mug and Bean, we're chatting for about 2 hours. I'm preaching the gospel from every possible angle to see him come to Jesus. Like, no. That Sunday he comes to church again and I share this message. I knew he was like a man's man, you know, about 27, 28 years old. My message is real men come to Jesus. So I played a little bit on his ego. And he responded. He came forward, prayed with him, committed his life to the Lord. He prayed the prayer. That next week, I go to his house, and he says to me as I come to into his house, he says to me, Pastor, yeah, I've prayed your little prayer, but the lights haven't come on yet. And I said, no, it's okay, all good, no problem. And so I'm like sharing with him about salvation. I share it with him about the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then I realize, yo, I've got to go. Only got a few minutes left. Aviwe, can I quickly pray for you? I have him stand up. And he says, yes, sure. And I ask him to open his hands. And now I pray for him that he would receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Now remember, he said, Pastor, the lights haven't come on yet. Now he tells me later, while his eyes were closed, suddenly he sees a light. He's thinking, did the pastor now rip out a flashlight or something and it's shining in his eyes? So his eyes are closed and he sees a light far away and then the light comes closer and then it goes further away. And I'm just praying, Lord, touch him. The Holy Spirit, come, touch him, fill him. The next moment, this light floods into him. So from my perspective, all I am seeing is this guy falling back into his chair, sitting, shaking, tears running down his face, start and saying, it's real, it's real, it's real. The lights came on. Gave his life to Jesus. He's still in our church now a few years later and he's following God. You're one encounter away from changing your mind. Even if you don't believe, I tell you, he's real. He's real. He wants to encounter you with his love. He is so good. So the back verse of that scripture there, so these men bring the paralyzed man. They make a way to bring. They knew Jesus is the answer. They knew Jesus can solve this. So they brought the friend to Jesus. And it says that they went up onto the housetop. They couldn't get in. They couldn't get the man to Jesus. So they went up onto the housetop and they broke open the ceiling type of thing, you know. And for me, that speaks of you and me, if you are a believer this morning, that you and I, for we to go to the high places, to press in a place of prayer and worship, to open the way so that someone else can experience Jesus in a fresh way. You need to open the way. You need to position yourself in the presence of God so that when you lay hands on someone, when you pray for somebody, the kingdom comes through you. That's what God wants to do. Every story I'm sharing is an invitation for you to experience the same in you and through you. Last time I checked, it's the same Jesus living in all of us. Amen, by His Holy Spirit. Come on, say amen. Come on, let's say it. Kingdom encounter is for me. It is. But you need to activate your faith. You need to believe. You need to believe. We need to press into that place of stepping into God's presence so we can release life to others. And it says that when Jesus, he said, and when he saw their faith, he responded. God's looking for faith. Do you have faith? Do you know how you can test if you have faith? The Bible says, these signs will follow those who believe. Heal the sick. Set people free from darkness on their souls. That is the evidence of real faith, because faith connects you to the power of God, and when you're connected to the power of God, all things become possible. Amen. Come on, let's say it. All things are possible with God. Amen. All things are possible. All things are possible. Anything can happen. I see this the whole time. I was like, God, that is mind-blowing again. And again, and again. He knows us so well. There was at a heart encounter, there was a lady there that lost a child around 20-something years ago. And one of our ladies didn't know anything, and she had a word. She saw like a blood flow or birth or something, but it like something went wrong. And the other lady knew that was the word for her. And so this lady, named is Hunley, she prayed for this other lady. And while she's praying for her, she starts to proclaim something about the Jordan River. Now, amazing thing is that child's name was Jordan. Oh, she wept there. Because God knows. He knows everything you go through. He knows everything you go through. He knows everything about us, and he wants to bring healing and restoration. That lady's life was radically transformed when she realized God sees. Come on, let's say it. God sees. He does. He sees and he loves. And then there's this one verse, it's not on the screen, but in Isaiah 35, verse 3-6, fascinating passage. It's almost like you don't connect the two, but you know, the paralyzed man in the passage we just read, for me that also speaks of us sometimes being lame on the inside, in our spirit, in our soul. You know, there's the scripture says in Isaiah 35, strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees. And then it says, be strong, do not fear, God will come. And what does it say? Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. For waters shall burst forth and streams in the desert. When does this happen? When the people of God are encouraged. When you and I are encouraged and we believe that God will come. I want to speak this over this congregation. God is coming. He's here today, but there's more coming. In Jesus' name, I saw, praying Friday night, I saw this church as this beautiful oasis of living waters and people coming from all over because they've heard Jesus is in the house. This is your inheritance. This is your inheritance. I had a word for Heinrich. I believe God is going to do signs and wonders through his life. I saw his hands, a vision of his hands just becoming like streams of living waters. I believe God is unlocking the supernatural in this house. We've seen 1,200 people physically healed in about just over 3 years. It's not because we're special. It's just we've repositioned ourselves in the kingdom. We're building out the kingdom culture within us and around us and in our congregation. And we're seeing the kingdom come through ordinary believers like my team. God does miracles through all of them. It's such so wonderful to have you guys here. But they are ordinary like me. But people think pastors are special. God wants to do signs and wonders through you, but you need to reposition yourself. You need to reposition yourself. And as a congregation, you need to together begin to fix your eyes on Jesus and say, Lord, you are coming. You are moving. And together we're going to go to this to those housetops and we're going to break open the way so that the paralyzed can come to Jesus and walk again. Amen. And you need to believe it. And you need to stand with Heinrich and Nikki. I know Heinrich probably better than anybody except for Nikki. This is a good man. This is a man of God. He has such a beautiful heart. They have such beautiful hearts. You know, but the thing I've realized being part of the leadership team of Shofar Church Family, this is moeilik. They need you. No man can do this alone. No pastor can carry this alone. No pastor's couple can carry this alone. But I promise you, the hand of God is upon their lives. They are good, godly people that love Jesus. And they need a whole lot of people to believe in them, back them, and stand with them. And maybe you are that person. And if you would do that, if you would accept this assignment, you will see the glory of God. Promise you, one community of people standing together, the kingdom will come. Guaranteed. Go read your Bible. That's how it works. If you build it, God will come. If you choose to stand together, if you choose to love one another, if you choose to allow the Spirit of God to knit your hearts together, the kingdom of God will come. You will see people's lives radically transformed. Amen. Come on, let's say it. If you build it, God will come. Amen. So I'm calling you this morning. I believe the Holy Spirit is calling you. I saw this in the Spirit on Friday night. This church is glorious in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, receive that. Receive that. If you would strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees, if you would say to one another, be strong, do not fear, you will see the kingdom of God come. Look at this, Luke 5:21. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? So again, they were offended. They didn't understand. The intellectual people tend to miss God unless that intellectual part is sanctified by the word of God. It's been said, we often say, if I would see it, then I'm going to believe it. It's not kingdom thinking. Kingdom thinking is, if you believe it, you're going to see it. That's how it works. If you believe it, you will see it. If you believe that Jesus heals, you're going to see healing. If you believe he's the deliverer, you're going to see deliverance. If you believe that he's the Savior, you're going to see Jesus manifest his saving power. If you believe he's the reconciler, you're going to see marriages restored. If you believe he's the one that restores us on the inside, you're going to experience it. Amen. Come on, let's say it. I'm a believer. And then we sing like a donkey. On the Shrek movie, the donkey. I'm a believer. Last few verses, Luke 5:22-26. It says, but when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your heart? Why are you looking at life through your physical eyes? Why are you looking according to the flesh and not according to the spirit? Why are you reasoning Then he says, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? Jesus, like, guys, forgiving sins, paralyzed, walk. That's like both easy. That's why I went to the cross. That's where I made the way. Jesus to forgive, Jesus to heal. It's for him exactly the same thing. The block is in our own heads. Now we're moving those blocks this weekend. Amen. Amen. It's easy. And it says, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. That you may know. Guys, let me show you that I forgive sins. Let me heal this man. Every healing miracle is evidence that God is alive and he's still forgiving the sins of sinners, which are all of us until we meet Jesus. Amen. That I may show you. That you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Immediately, say immediately. That's how God rolls. He rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Do you see that glorifying God? Every miracle is a manifestation of the glory of God, and it brings glory to Jesus. Do you want to bring glory to Christ? Sure, I know you want to. But then we need to trust God to release the kingdom in us and through us. God cannot release the kingdom through us until he's established it within us. Within us. That's what he wants to do. And then it says there, and they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. We've seen strange things today. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. Praise God. So we had a guy, just ending off with this worship team, you can come forward. Thank you. So we had a guy come to church, a month or two ago, and he was in a wheelchair. He could stand, but he didn't really have feeling in his feet, and he was on crutches. He couldn't go upstairs without the crutches. A lot of pain in his back. And he went to a doctor, I think on the Friday before the Sunday, and they said to him, well, you're going to need another operation. So he was in a massive bus accident 3 months earlier, and so he broke his back. And so he came to the service the Sunday night, and we had a wonderful time praying for him, and it was amazing. So the Lord touched him. All the pain disappeared from his back. His feeling came back to his feet. He could walk up and down the stairs without crutches. He went to the doctor on Tuesday, and the guy said to him, no operation needed, just a little bit of physio. We'll do it. Hallelujah. It feels like church when the guy who comes in with the wheelchair pushes it out at the end. That's church. That's normal. What would Jesus do? He would heal the sick. He would set people free from darkness on their souls, and he would save them. That's what Jesus would do. And I believe that's what he wants to do this morning. Amen. The lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, and the name of Jesus Christ glorified for all to see. No man can do this. Only Jesus can. My heart is burning this morning to say to you again, he loves you. And he's calling you to the river of life. He's calling you out of the desert into the river of life. Amen. I believe God is raising up an army here. And he's calling you to believe. To believe. Have you encountered Jesus lately? Have you had a fresh encounter with Jesus lately? You know, encounter can sometimes simply be you read the Word of God and you get a fresh revelation of how amazing he is. I have a whole long list of words of knowledge I'm going to call out in a moment. And I believe Jesus will heal once again and set you free. Where people set free yesterday from darkness on their souls. Some of us have been carrying stuff with us for quite some time. The Lord wants to remove those weights from your shoulders. Amen. Hallelujah. Can we close our eyes just for a moment? I want to ask you this morning, has your lights come on yet? Like with Aviwe. Has your lights come on? Have you encountered the living God? I'm not talking dead religion. I'm talking the living God. Have you surrendered your life to Jesus? If you haven't, I want to pray with you this morning. If you haven't surrendered your life to Christ, or maybe you've lost your way with Jesus, you've lost your way and you want to come back to Him, would you just quickly raise your hand? If you need to come back, thank you for that hand. Thank you. Be so bold just to raise your hand. Thank you. Come on, if you want to come back to Jesus this morning, you can be a Christian for 20 years and have lost your way. Thank you. Jesus is here to turn the lights on. Jesus is here to turn the lights on. Jesus is here to set you free, to reveal to Him, to you, how much He loves you. Let's just quickly stand, please. Just give me just like a minute more on this topic. What's the point of talking about miracles, but someone doesn't come to Jesus for themselves, for their spirit, for eternal salvation, for having their name written in the book of life? If you need to come back to Jesus this morning, just quickly raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Thank you. Come on, be bold. Be bold. Thank you. He's here to save. He's here to set free. Anybody else? If you've raised your hand, you can drop it again. If there's anybody else. If you need to come back to Christ this morning, the Bible says in so many places, choose this day, who are you going to follow? And the Lord is through me asking you, would you choose Christ today to come back to Him, to start over again? If you need to, last time I'm going to ask, if you need to recommit your life to Jesus or commit your life to Jesus, just quickly raise your hand. Last time. Last time. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. So I want to pray with you, even as I did 22 years ago. I came forward and people prayed with me. If you raised your hand, can I ask you just to quickly come and stand here with me? God is here to touch you. There's at least 10 or more people. Just quickly come forward. If you raised your hand, come. Come. Jesus loves you. You are safe. This is a safe space, safe house. Jesus loves you. Let's give them a hand. Come on. Every miracle is a sign that points to Jesus. Every miracle is a sign that points to Jesus. If we can have some leaders here to stand with them. If you need to be in the front, you can still come. Door is wide open. I want to honor you for your boldness. I want to honor you. I want to take this moment that we all just pray this prayer together to commit our lives to Christ. We're trusting for a miracle to happen right now, for lights to come on. And then we're going to be praying for people for healing and freedom on their souls. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. So I want to encourage you right now, put all your trust in Jesus. He is here by the power of His Holy Spirit. He is here right now to reveal to you how much He loves you. So I'm just going to quickly pray, and then I'm going to lead us in a prayer that I want to encourage you to pray from the heart, all of us from the heart, as we recommit, rededicate our lives to Jesus this day. As we get back our joy, the joy of our salvation. Lord, thank you for the miracles that are happening here right now. Thank you, Lord, for the stirring, not only in the hearts here in the front, but in all of us, God, that we might remember the glorious moment you wrote our names in the book of life. Wow, we will be with God for forever. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray right now, Lord, for a God encounter, a Jesus encounter. Lord, that they will be renewed on the inside of them, God. That they would know you intimately, not from a distance, but intimately. Let's pray this prayer together. From the heart, let's pray this. Say, Father God, thank you that you love me so much. That you sent your Son to die for me. Thank you, Jesus, for going through hell so that I can know heaven. Lord Jesus, forgive me for drifting away from you. Forgive me all my sins. Wash me clean by your precious blood. Make me new from the inside out. I surrender my whole life to Jesus Christ. Save me and set me free. In Jesus' name. I just want to pray for you now. So Father, we thank you, God, that you bring a renewal to all of us in this house, and especially those here in the front, God, a new start, as if we got born today. In the name of Jesus, God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, God, make them new. Make them new, God. Can I ask all the rest of us, if you're not here in the front, could you put a hand on the shoulder or the back of the person standing next to you? I want you just to pray a blessing over one another. Even as we just take a moment, I want you to pray that the Lord would renew their faith, their passion for Christ. Cast off the old. It's a new day. It's a new beginning. Come on, so pray for one another as we pray here in the front. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing right now, God. Thank you, God, for the renewal you're bringing right now, God. We declare it is a new day, it's a new start. It's a new day, it's a new start. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I want to encourage everybody that's responded here in the front to sign up for a small group. Sign up for a small group and... Okay, you can take your seats again. I'm just going to call out, if you're still praying in the front, it's fine. I want to just call out a few things that we're going to be praying for. We're not going to be long. Just give me another 3 minutes. And okay, so I need you to respond if this is you. I'm not sure if all these words are for this morning or for this night. This evening, we're going to be at Stellenbosch. So if this is for you, please just raise your hand that I can see. Anybody battling with the breathing in their lungs? Breathing problems, lung problems. Quickly raise your hand. Any lung problems? Asthma? Anything like that? Okay. Where? Also there. Okay, so respond. Come stand here in the front. If it's for you, just come and stand over here. Breathing problems. We felt there's someone with a tennis elbow. tennis elbow, elbow problems. Anybody? For you? Okay, please come stand here in the front. Anybody else? Can be for multiples, elbow problems. We felt left side dislocation of shoulder. Like left shoulder problems at least. Or shoulder problems. We can gooi it wide. Or if your ankle's also connected to your shoulders, then ankle. I'm kidding. Okay, so shoulder. We had a random one. The name. We're feeling right wrist. Wrist problems. Okay, come. Wrist problems, just come. Random one, the name Winterson or Wintersun and possible sick child. Anybody that relates to that? Wintersun. For you? Wow. Okay. God is alive. We had a picture of skin close up in a sense that may have to do with skin cancer that God wants to heal, but let's go for any skin disease. Any skin problems. My wife had a major problem with psoriasis and the Lord healed her 95%. Just like a very small spot still on her skin, but the Lord healed the rest. Okay, skin. Saw a picture of someone struggling to stand with heels flat on the ground because of pain, possibly due to some nerve damage. That was what was felt. Anybody that relates? Okay. Anybody else? Okay. We felt heart in the right side of the heart. Think valve. Not in front, but at back of heart. Something like that. Heart problem. Anybody with heart issues? I recently prayed for a man that had major heart problems, and the Lord mightily healed his heart like a new heart. Anybody heart problems? Can't believe it. Okay. Lymphatic system, especially under arms, down arms, into abdomen. Any lymphatic system problems? Anybody? For you? Okay. Then lungs. Dark spots on lungs. Not sure if asthma or cancer. It's not that lung one. Lungs. Okay, maybe that's someone specific. We already have some people responding for that. Person wearing mask. Each time they take off one, there is always another one already existing. This person does not have one, but numerous masks. This person believes that if they don't change to suit the person they are with, they will not be accepted. So you go from one person to another, swapping and changing masks, but never getting rid of any masks, just keeps adding masks. You eventually got to the stage where you don't even know who you are and you feel isolated and alone. I'm going to ask you not to respond in front of everybody. But if that's relevant to you, just come forward a little bit later if you feel like you need to try and fit into someone else's mold and you just can't be yourself. Okay, so just respond to that. Then a guy who thinks that God is old-fashioned and not relevant, and God wants to rock your world and turn your world upside down. He wants to set a fire within you. And God wants to use you in radical, unconventional ways. So if that's for someone, you can also just come a little bit later. We also feel that there might be people that need breakthrough in business. Your business owner maybe, but you need a breakthrough in business. Then you can also just come forward. We want to pray for you. Anybody like a business breakthrough? I'm sure there are multiples. Multiples. Just come and stand here in the front. Then we felt headaches and neck tension. Headaches and neck tension. Our mission is to see if we can get all of you to stand in the front. And again, we felt skin, maybe burns or scars, but bad skin pain. And we also felt breast cancer. Possibly breast cancer, battling with that. And then anybody with anything else, please come forward, because we're going to spend time praying for you. Now, I want to encourage all of us in terms of this. When it comes to healing and receiving a miracle from God, you need to press in So let me speak to you, everybody over here. I want to encourage you. Don't do what we normally do. Someone prays for you, nothing's happened yet, so we, isn't God's will. Okay, that's a lie. Jesus healed everybody. Everybody that asked him, he healed. Everybody that asked him to heal them, Jesus healed. So I want to encourage you to stir your faith. So say these words. Say, thank you, Lord Jesus, that it is your will to heal me. Me. I receive your healing right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. So I want to encourage you to not, after one prayer, just go sit. Give us some time. I normally pray for people 3 times. And when there's a healing anointing flowing, they normally get healed. We've seen scenarios where it feels like everybody's getting healed. Everybody. It's the exception when someone doesn't get healed. I want to stir your faith. Come on, let's say it. I believe that Jesus is my healer. I believe that Jesus is here right now to heal and to set free in Jesus' name. I receive a touch from heaven in the mighty name of Jesus. So I want you to open your hands and attitude of receiving. And I want everybody that joined us for the healing school yesterday to also come and pray for people. So all of those, come and stand on this side. I'm first going to pray for us that the Lord would touch our hands. You see, when you've received healing or when you have been exposed to it, you can now pray for others. It is not a win if awesome people from other places come and do it. You need to do it because Jesus lives on the inside of you. There are no awesome people. There are only Jesus that's awesome. Hallelujah. I also just feel if you're battling with depression, if you are disillusioned, if you've given up hope, I also want to encourage you to come forward, that some of us pray with you and trust God for a stirring within you, a release of life, a renewal of your soul and spirit. Okay, so we're gonna do like a, okay, so all of us, those praying as well, I want you to open your hands. And the rest of us, if you want to be part of also receiving a healing grace in your life, there's an impartation that happens in meetings like this, so you're also welcome to open your hands and to receive the grace of God, like the anointing of God upon your life. Hallelujah. And then the band's going to lead us in a one-liner. We're just going to lift up the name of Jesus. And then we're going to trust for a river of healing to flow through this place. Come on. Believe. So Father, right now, let's just do the one-liner first. Just hope I'll keep your hands open. I'll pray just after we've sung that. We just want to open the heavenlies just a little bit extra. Turn your heart to him. Let his presence flood in. Jesus, step into the river of life. Jesus, you're worthy. You're worthy. Jesus, Jesus, you're worthy. You're worthy. Jesus, you're worthy, you're worthy. Jesus. We love you, Jesus. You are worthy of all praise. You are worthy of all praise. God, we surrender our hearts and these hands, God, as we hold our hands and our bodies before you, Lord, right now we ask for a fresh anointing, a healing grace. Father, let a river of life flood through this house. You said you're going to flood this house. Lord, we stand on that. Flood this house now. God, I sense your presence so powerfully here right now. You are here to heal and to deliver and to set free and to break open new wells. So, Lord, we receive your healing, anointing on every body, on all our hands, in the mighty name of Jesus. Right now, we release the healing power of Jesus Christ over each and every person here present. Be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. Be healed. Bodies be healed. Everything that I called out and more, be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. Let the kingdom of God come right now. Let the kingdom of God come right now. Let's lay hands on them. Those who are praying, you can now lay a hand on somebody. Just put a hand on them. Before you interview, just release the presence of God over them. Thank you, Lord. Right now, we release life, 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 healing power, healing of the healing hands of Jesus. We release it over each and every one. Be healed in Jesus' name. Okay, so what we're going to do now is the guys are going to quickly interview you. They're going to ask you, you know, what's wrong. Don't give too much detail, just general idea. Then they're going to pray for you, and then we're going to test your bodies. You're going to, if you can, we're going to ask you to test, and then we're going to pray again. And we're going to ask you on a level from 0 to 10, what are the, were the pain levels, and have the pain levels reduced, say, from a 7 to a 3. You're getting an idea, is God moving? Then we're going to celebrate what God is doing, and then we're going to pray again. We're going to pray at least 3 times and test 3 times. Amen. And then I want you to come to me if they are, if you feel completely healed. I want you to come to me. We're going to share some stories. We're going to trust the Lord for some great stories here this morning of what Jesus done. In Jesus' name, be healed. In Jesus' mighty name, we release the healing power of Christ right now. Okay, so we prayed for a lady here. She said she had pain in her ankle this morning when she walked. And now as she was walking around, she feels no pain in her ankle. So I just want to release that the Lord is busy working. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, come on. The Lord, keep on pressing in. I know God is working right now. Come on. Amen. Okay, here's a cool story. So Marinda het 30 jaar gelede in 'n motorongeluk haar been gebreek, enkel en rugpyn vir 30 jaar. En toe ons nou gebid het, die pyn verdwyn van die enkel en die rug en het lyk as haar been 'n bietjie uitgegroei het en nou dieselfde lengte is. Ons sal weer check, maar het lyk so. Give Jesus a hand vir daai enkie. Die klopie van ons nog hierso. Hallelujah. Praise the Here. So I can look and say, I want to also mention one, you need to steward your healing. So you need to stand in it by faith. Sometimes it tries to come back and we say, Gat weg in Jesus' name. So you need to stand in faith, say, God, you healed me and I will remain healed in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Here. Come on. Anybody else needs prayer? If you need prayer, I want to pray for someone still while we're praying over here. Anybody else? Can't believe everybody is now healed. Well, I can, but. So if anybody needs prayer, please come and stand here with me. I want to pray for you. I want to bless you. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.